Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Under the trench coat, yeah, with rolling in the geek.
Not for the audience.
Nope.
No. They haven't heard it yet.
I'm fucking starting. Hello and welcome to Under the Trench Coat, the after break bonus episode for The Riven Tales. I am Ken Brown, writer of some of The Riven Tales.
I'm Brad. Hi.
I fucking hate you. I'm Nick. Hate's a strong word. I strongly dislike you. I edited them and posted them.
This is
you wrote, directed, and starred in your own.
That's true.
This is just another Under the Trench Coat just for Riven Tales instead of something else. I can't break my normal spiel. Come on.
I accidentally, you all may be aware, uploaded just the title of one of them while I was editing them. So kudos to that Easter egg in the universe.
I don't think it was up too terribly long before I wiped it out of existence.
But I feel like people probably would have got it. Well, I don't know. I don't know how long it takes for a transistor to ship it out to like Google and Apple and all the ear bacon stations.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I feel like somebody could have got a notification. It's like, blah, blah, blah. Episode is up. And then they would have went and looked and be like, no, the fuck it is not. Also, it's a Wednesday.
I don't know. I killed the social media side of it pretty quick.
I didn't know how quick that stuff happened, so I didn't even think to say anything. I was just like, nope, no one has to know. Everyone knew.
Everyone knew.
The internet shouted it from the rooftops.
There's our new Riven Tale.
Then some person in New York is like, what? Why?
That would have been
why are you shouting for the
family
rooftops?
Dinner, I think, is the one I goofed. I think. It might have been Trevor's. I'm pretty sure it was family dinner.
Nah, I'm pretty sure it was family dinner.
Breakfast, but you know.
You know what is one. Dinner but breakfast for night folk?
That's fair.
I can't disagree with it. I don't like it, but I can't disagree with it.
Okay, we're here for a purpose.
We are here for a purpose. But what? Where do we want to start?
First of all, we should let the audience know that if you do listen to this and you enjoy it, you can get them weekly on our Patreon.
This is something that we do at the end of every episode, that we kind of talk back through all the events of the episode. If there's any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns about the events therein, and occasionally Brad and Nick, more so occasionally Brad, but fairly often Nick, throws some crackpot corner stuff out there of like crazy conspiracy theories for what's going on in Riven, which sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not.
Also in that same vein, there's lots of domino talk. There's If like a story arc gets closed off or something, can sometimes even when it's not closed off, like if it's a fight or a mechanic that's like homebrewed, Ken will give us a peek behind the DM screen at how he put shit together, which Brad and I find extremely interesting. We assume heavy tabletop players also would, especially aspiring or current GMs. So all that and more.
It's always fun to get somebody else's perspective.
Yeah.
You know, on how they would approach something.
Like,
and compare and contrast.
Like Ed with the skill tests.
Yeah.
Like he really liked that stuff. And I mean, we do too. Like those are super awesome, but he grilled you hardcore on how those work.
over several days worth of messages. Yes. Okay, so now that we've got that
shameless plugs,
I'm okay with it. Where do we want to start?
I don't know. I mean, we can start wherever. So our upload order was Puffles, Breakfast, Jorik, Brad.
Hey, do we want to talk about any of the previous ones?
I mean, we could. Oh God, I didn't even. That never even crossed my mind before, and now I'm suddenly worried.
we can start with just the ones that we've uploaded here recently. So peek behind the screen here. That Puffles and what we've been lovingly referring to as Glassy, the Glen Cassie story. Those have been on my personal back burner for quite a while. I went into a frenzy and wrote a whole bunch of stuff. I think at the same time I wrote the Alcanor story that came out quite a while ago. I think it might have been shortly after I did Selena. Like after I wrote it, it was shortly thereafter. Like there was a handful of them that I wrote up in very short order. And the Puffles one and the Glassy just kind of sat because they were getting less relevant to the story at the time. And then we got another taste of Puffles and kind of brought him back towards our attention. And so I went back and kind of did some more thinking and a couple of edits on it just to refine it down a little bit. And then we started talking about doing this break. And it was like, oh, hey, well, this is an option because I personally absolutely love writing these. It's great for not just for, you know, extra content, but it's great for me to really put more life and a backstory into the characters that I introduce.
Hi, Craig.
Sorry.
Rather than them just being somebody that you meet and then they're gone, that they have had a life before you were there or after, depending on what the situation is. I think that it adds a lot of depth. And hopefully the extra content, the extra world building, and kind of that extra flavor into the world is appreciated.
You know,
so Puffles.
I was just going to make a quick comment before we jump into like a direct talk about any of them. Since this is an Under the Trench Coat, and in Under the Trench Coat fashion, we usually have like secret stuff that we just kind of openly talk about with the Patreon audience, but this one is going to everyone, so why break tradition? They're not terribly secret, don't freak out, but maybe they are. Check it out. Anyway, what I'm trying to get to is Ken brought up to Brad and I what next, because like he said, he's had Puffles and Glassy on the burner for a while, and then when we were going to take our May break, I was like, so we got four Fridays to fill. Ken, you want to write two more? And then Brad was like, well, I could write Trevor's, and then he instantly regretted that.
I don't think I said I could. I think I said I should, and then I was like, but I don't know, and then it took me like a week to put the thing together.
But I lit a fire under Ken's ass a little bit to be like, find something else to write, and he was like, I think I'll write Jorik's, and so then he eventually wrote Jorik's. But he's now used all of his pre-made stories, and he banged out Jorik in a quick amount of time. And he asked Brad and I what ones we would like next. Since this is going to everyone, feel free to add us on Twitter or comment when this episode gets posted. If there's someone that you want to hear one from, the ones that Ken has already mentioned is, well, at the time that this comes out. Yeah, no, you've met all the people that he's talked about. So he mentioned Kirby and, oh, what's her name?
Lenara.
Kirby/Lenara one. He also mentioned an Iacor one, and then he mentioned a Puffle Selena combo story. So those are the ones he talked about. If there's someone that you like that you haven't heard something about and you have suggestions, or if you like any of those three, feel free to let us know. Otherwise, we'll just pick it because we love all of it. But it's an Under the Trench Coat, so throwing shit out there. Anyway, that took a lot longer to get out than I wanted it to. Jumping over to Puffles.
My quick backtrack on that is, hell yeah. If somebody wants to hear something more about a particular character, or you're really interested in X event that happened in the past, or you wanted, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't have to be specifically about a character. I'm okay with creating something built around an event in Riven's history. I mean, I can do as much as I can without spoilering things that, you know, might still be some of the dark secrets of Riven. But hell yeah, I'd absolutely love to take a suggestion on that and then build something around it. I might cry a little.
Yeah, well,
out of excitement.
Well, that Riven Rewind that we did—that's stuff that Ken did in our Saturday game campaigns when Ken was the DM. That would just in Ondine, he didn't necessarily. There were some that he did have us play through, but there were some where he would just take like 10 to 15 minutes, and he'd be like, "I kind of want to give you guys like this little flash. Like your characters won't get it, but I want you guys to have it as you're getting to like this part of the story." So he'd tell us that. So. I never even would have thought to tell people, like, yeah, talk about an event. It does not have to be a person. If there's like something that we've mentioned that you want to hear more of, you can always suggest it, and then Ken will either be like, sure, or he'll be like, wait, and then you'll know.
wait, you know, like 10 more episodes, and then we'll get to that one. But so let's drill down on Puffles. Puffles, I thought, was a really interesting one because he seems somewhat flat on the surface. As a character, that he can come off as a little more flat because he's a little reserved, and he isn't over the top or exuberant or anything like that. But I feel like he has a lot more depth of thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a wizard. He's obviously done a lot of study and a lot of research and a lot of work to get to, you know, the point that he was, that he graduated from the Aetherport Academagi Institute, which was, I was very concerned about saying that one out loud. but getting some of his internal during, you know, these kind of events leading up to when he found out about Iron's Edge and their call for help, just, you know, definitely a throwback to the way back at this point in the campaign. But I really liked drilling into his thoughts and how he perceives things and kind of getting to build out his, what I already knew of his personality, and getting to explore that a little bit more within his internal monologue. You know, there were some comments that he made, you know, like, I'm doing this stuff is like somebody's this magical illness, but he's probably just spending too much time away from his own bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like little things like that, that is something that he would have in his head, but he's not the type of person to say that out loud to somebody.
Yeah.
Or maybe he will one day. You never know.
Maybe.
He tells Selena. But, he totally tells Selena. He tells Selena everything.
Yeah, I
he,
like
he the, probably didn't the, at first, but he definitely does now.
I'm more and more I'm liking the idea of them having like a buddy cop movie at some point.
Oh my god. Oh, I want that. I want that.
I also want that. That'd be great.
I don't know which one is good cop and which one's bad cop, but I got to make one call out though, is that our private game on Saturday that Brad DMs for us. I had a little inside joke for us that was in there, that the town that Puffus mm-hmm. went to was Bell something, and the first town that we got introduced to in that our Saturday game was Bellcrest. And so I wanted to play off of that, make a little inside joke for us, you know, well, just as a giggle.
Especially because Brad's campaign revolves around saying that everything is stuck together in a here. Big knot. So we are at here. The proverbial knot of the multiverse in Brad's campaign. And so there sometimes we'll walk up and be like, man, Avengers is pretty cool. And people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then there's to be somebody else be like, yeah, sucks about Chadwick Boseman, though, huh? And we're like, who the fuck are you, gnome? That just gets my terminology.
Any of your guys' thoughts on Puffles and his little mini adventure before Iron's Edge?
The only comments I really have are just basically to agree with you. Like I do think that Puffles in his own has like shown growth with the B team as a whole. But that definitely that shows that there is always whether it seems like it or not, Puffles has shit going on inside that gives him more depth that you might not know he has. So he's not like this 2D character. He does have three dimensions. He's just not the type of person, which I'm sure, especially, no offense, nerdy, geeky D&D people could totally associate with, you know, like being these kind of not that Puffles is a super introvert, but he borders on it. He's outgoing when he needs to be, but he's not forthcoming with feelings, I guess is the best way.
Two things. One, and you know, when you compare a Puffles to a Selena, a Selena is a lot more forthright about her feelings and much more of like hard on the sleeve type character. Mm-hmm. She showed that between your guys' adventures together and your poor separation the first time. She showed that on both sides. Second, oh no, I lost the second.
Oh no.
That makes me really sad. It was a very eloquent comment that I was going to make about the state of things. That's fine. That's fine. I'll get there. Damn it. Nope, not coming back to me. Well, somebody else's turn, because apparently my brain isn't gonna fly with me today.
Brad?
What?
This is... When we said we were going to do this, we agreed that you also had to have input. That was the agreement that we had. Can't just be Ken and I talking about stories the whole time.
I agreed with things.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay. Okay. Over to the Brad corner. I agree. Oh, okay. I remember what my comment was going to be about. So much of his outward personality is so based upon what he is. Mm-hmm. The world that we've established, somebody like Puffles or a Harkos or whatever is more of a rarity. And I think Puffles really took that as, you know, like he keeps himself pretty reserved. And so his outward personality is a byproduct of that. And right. He tries to show through his action rather than his words, you know, what he he's capable of, and the quality of his being, rather than, you know, just I'm a lion person.
And so, we've managed to kind of crack his shell a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like especially getting the, you know, Puffles round two.
Right.
Good. That Underdark Boogaloo. I got to play with him a little bit more when I, and it, you know, there's a lot of the characters that, you know, have been shaped and continue to be shaped as they experience more and more of the world and work with the two of you more. Phil being a prime example. And so I got to kind of use some of the thoughts that I had on Puffles specifically, in part two there, which was enjoyable to actually get that to that chance to explore him a little bit more. Should we move on to family breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay. Family breakfast came along to me more as a, I guess more or less specifically for Nick to have.
Yeah, because what happened was, there was a point where Ken did the first one. Selena was the first one we ever did. And so he asked about other stuff. And then Brad was like, round out the B team. And I, a quarter jokingly, was like, Cassie. I want one about Cassie. And then Ken was like, I kind of think I could have an idea for that. And I was like, oh, fuck, really? And then we met Glenn in game. And then Ken told us the thing. And he wrote it. And it sat in the drive forever. And I no longer wanted one about Cassie. Because it hurt me in hurtful ways. But it was good.
You got to see that, you know, that interaction, and it wasn't always just monsters and mines. It was, you know, that Glenn was a loving father, and Cassie was kind of a carefree little girl, and Esma was, you know, a doting mother. You got to see, you know, before, you know, crazy kobolds attacked and stole Glenn, and things went horribly, horribly awry. It gave you that little taste of it. And yeah, it is kind of sad because you know where it eventually went, even though there is a sweet ending to that she got her dad back. But getting to see that again, for me, it was like, yeah, I got to round out these characters a little bit more because, you know, Cassie was just kind of a throw in, you know, that I didn't expect anybody to latch on to her and be like, yep, that's my best friend right
okay,
now.
Okay, but let's be honest. If it was going to be anybody, it was definitely going to be Harkos. Like if anyone was going to be like, I associate with the small, bubbly child, it was going to be the giant, timid bird man.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that.
Because that's exactly, I mean, that's freaking, I mean, that's anime levels of shit right there, where you got this little girl skipping down the street, bouncing a ball, and then someone's like, hey, little girl, you probably shouldn't be out this late, and then there's just a of smoke as this giant fucking owl with a spear just poofs behind her. He's like, just kidding, you can walk wherever you want. And then little Cassie fucking turns around and she's like, thanks, Mr. Harkos, you're my best friend. And just as he disappears again. And it's like the adventures of Cassie and Birdman. I
feel like that needs to be a graphic novel.
Editor, oh, fuck, that's me. I can't draw. It's going to be a lot of stick figures and crayon.
I feel like it would be fitting.
Well, it would.
It's drawn from Cassie's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's drawn from Cassie's perspective by Harkos. Cassie, I can't help it. I only have four fingers, okay? This is not my fault.
This crayon is very odd. Is it a taquito?
Am I saying that right? They taste terrible, by the way. My owl pellets are very oily.
Aww.
I made an oil poop joke. Glassy, though. UTC fashion.
Yep. There has to be breaks. And I think especially for Glenn, because Glenn was more just the dad in distress, I got to round him out a little bit more, and it makes it even sadder when you think about it, though, because he just did, it wasn't his thing, that him even being there wasn't really his thing. He was probably one of those people that got into something because he had to, but it wasn't something that he was passionate about. It wasn't something that, he was meant to do something else.
The other thing that hurts me, and this is Nick, this isn't hurts Harkless, because obviously Harkless don't know these Riven tales, but hurts Nick, just because I'm a moderately caring person, as long as I'm not bitchy. So to hear Glenn's story, to read between the lines of these Riven tales, think about how Gork feels. One of the last things Gork did was assign Glenn, whom she knows
Gwaris, you mean?
Yeah, Gwaris. Gork is the
She's the she's Divinia, yeah, slash I the got, taquito maker slash the barkeep.
I got weird shit on the brain. Gwaris is who I meant. I had a dwarf in my head while I was saying Gork, and I knew Gork sounded wrong. So Gwaris, one of the last things she did was assign Glenn to the new mine shaft, thinking it was going to be a great so on and so forth, And then, to partially jump ahead into a piece of Jorik's story, I mean, we know what happened next. Mm-hmm. And not just Glenn specifically, like everyone that she had over there, but she has to live with, like, she was quote unquote fine. Like, she got out of there okay. She helped keep people safe or whatever. But she had to carry with her every day going back to work that Cassie saw her dad at the time for the last time because of a choice that she made to help the town be prosperous. And I'm not trying to, like, villainize Gwaris by any means, but like that's part of what was sad to me too, is like, you tell this story, and even within the story there are these little side stories that you can read into, because the characters from the main campaign, like the stuff that's going on, so Gwaris isn't a piece of shit. Gwaris is a decent person, so it probably sucks for her, especially Gwaris, like, watching Trevor and I bring Glenn out,
Mm-hmm.
Like, that probably super fucking sucked.
And there was
too.
somebody else that another miner that you got to rescue too.
And for her to think that she just didn't, me personally would beat myself up because I didn't try. Like, I did it about Trevor. That's why I didn't talk to Phil. Harkless's thing was Phil made it back in. And obviously somehow Trevor got back in because he's in the next car. So why didn't I just jump out of the train and try and help them? Why did I push through just assuming they were dead? Still does, not as much because Harkless is growing, but that fucks me up pretty bad. So I can only imagine. And that's just something like that happens in passing. So that's part of the reason that, like, the Glassy story hit so hard, because it's definitely the shortest of the ones we released. And
It was very short.
You could argue that it's got the least meat in it, but I don't think it's any less important just because of, like, exactly what it is, because of the story it tells. Like, all of this stuff, it's not necessarily main campaign material because we don't have the time and you can't really tell that story to Trevor and Harkos, but it's definitely worth hearing.
Yeah, and because that ended up being such a big part of that last piece of Iron's Edge, mm-hmm. that was one of the other reasons I felt that was really important, is because that moment showed hope for these people, that somebody came back from a situation that nobody should have come back from, you know. This would not have happened in a personal game. You would have not gotten this joyous reunion,
right?
I tend to run a lot darker than that in our personal stuff.
No, but, you know what would have happened is we would have saved him. We would have made the decision like we did to be like, you think you can do it? Be like, yeah, I'm fine. He'd fuck off, and then we'd be leaving. And you'd be like, make a perception check. And I'd roll a perception. Be like, you see Glenn laying on the ground up ahead. And I'm like, I go run to pick him up. Be like, cool, it's just his top half.
Oh, God.
It's like, cool. Awesome. Yeah. Yep. Glad we're here.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I may have hammed that up a bit, guys. Ken's not that bad often.
Often.
I find the right moments when it's impactful.
Yeah, that's the thing to stress. Brad and I, sorry to derail ever so slightly. Brad and I complain complain air quotes about Ken and his darkness. He doesn't do it to be a dickhead. There is still a point behind the pain that he causes. We complain because yes, it does suck in the moment, but on the grand scale of things, it's still glorious storytelling. So just know that like. Ken's not trying to hide some demented side of himself. We're not trying to say that we picked Ken to be the DM and we're shocked that he's being a nice person. I'm sure it's straining on Ken to not do his dark storytelling, but it is still storytelling and it is so great. And Brad is trying to force him to, when Riven is over, do a dark story. So hold on to your butts, as Mr. Samuel L. J. would say.
Oh God, but I feel to redirect the train again. Yeah. I do feel like it was really important to see that hope, and you know, it's not just all bad. This world has many, many parts that are worth fighting for. It's not just we're gonna make a tiny little impact, but it's really nothing. But and maybe in the grand scale of Riven, the Shattered Continent, as a whole world, you rescuing a single dad, not a single dad, but a single individual dad, isn't a huge thing. But to Cassie and Esma, that was everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can see that. And I was really trying to make sure that point got there, is that he was an important part of that family, not just because he went to the mines and he worked, but because he was a caring and loving husband and a caring and loving father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was impactful for that family to get him back, because, you know, they all needed it. They all needed, all three of them needed the other. And so you get this family unit back.
Well, that's why I carry this in like all my characters, but Harkos definitely has it too, that no one's not important. And I think I get that. I mean, it was in me before, but I definitely get it from Doctor Who. There's a quote from Doctor Who where somebody, I think it's just like a side character in one singular episode, but they make a comment about how, why me? Like, I'm not important. And the doctor, who's thousands of years old, you know, and all this stuff, and has seen so many things, and he's like, huh, that's strange. This is a new thing for me. And they're like, what do you mean? And he goes, you know, I've met a lot of people. Never once have I ever met an unimportant human. And I mean, it's true. Like, you might not see it or whatever in the moment, but everyone's important in their own story. Everyone's important to someone within their own story. So, to reference another bit of media, Captain America was right. You can't trade in lives. You know, like, if you... Brad, Ken, and I, all as characters and as DMs and stuff, set up these situations that if you can try, you should. We get told a lot in our Saturday games, don't forget, you can run away from stuff because I'm not afraid to kill you. And we never run. We can't get our brains to want to run. Because if we can try and help, we have to. And if we die doing that, then we died doing it. But at least we tried. And that was the thing with making sure Glenn made it out. And that's going to be the thing going forth for Trevor and Harkos. And it's a whole shtick.
Speaking of, if we die doing it, then we die doing it. Vigilance and virtue.
I thought that was a good segue.
Yep. So the Jorik story. So my preface to this is that when we decided that we were going to take this break and we announced it and everything, we decided that Jorik was going to be the person that I was going to write the third Rivendell about. And I experienced some of the heaviest fucking writer's block of my entire life trying to write Jorik, because I knew what I wanted out of it, but I couldn't get it to flow. And I to this day, I still don't understand why. Like, just would not happen.
If you ever watched SpongeBob, where he had to write his summer essay, that was Ken.
It drove me absolutely nuts, because I love Jorik as a character. I love doing these. I love writing these. And I knew the situation and everything that I wanted it to happen, because I wrote it as a couple to family breakfast. Mm-hmm. That takes place in pretty much the same time frame as at least, you know, the first half of it is in the same time frame as family breakfast. And so it's, you know, getting to see this event happen from a little bit before and then directly after. And yeah. I did an in episode one of a flashback with Gwaris in the mine.
Mm-hmm.
And when it happened. So you get, we now have a full scope of that day, to at least from a, you know, a few characters' point of views. But now looking back, I think that Jorik's story. Selena was the one that I was really truly proud of, and Jorik's story is right there with it, that I'm very proud of what I was able to do with that one, that short story that I was able to tell for Jorik, and kind of the world's impact that moment had, because there was a lot of hints in all of those, because between Family Breakfast and Vigilance and Virtue, that that Lathander had something to do with both of those stories. And we know now that Lathander has heavy ties to, or do we know that? We know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know that. We know that where we are in episodes, that Lathander has heavy ties to Numerath. And so that, you know, this dream that Jorik has in Vigilance and Virtue is part of that awakening. That not only do you have Davinia there in town, who is the herald of Numerath, you also have this Lathandarian temple and a paladin who follows the teachings of Lathander as well as the captain of the town guard. And so I unintentionally at first, and then once I realized that I was doing it, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And went crazy. And then it just ties even more heavy into, like, is there more reason that Trevor was there than just go and protect those who can't protect themselves? It's because you've got all of these puzzle pieces that are all there, and they're in place. You just don't realize it because you're not looking at it from far enough back. But I loved those ending few moments where Jorik and the rest of the guard are standing between Iron's Edge and the kobolds.
That was really good. I liked how you really showed how Jorik's like super super good person too. Like buying out of his own pocket for the other guards and whatnot. Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah. And that was an idea that I had at some point. And you know, my biggest disappointment though with Vigilance and Virtue is that I didn't get to use the other two, because I created those other two guards for the purpose. I always knew that Iron's Edge original guard was very small, like four or five. Mm-hmm. But I had Jorik and I had Nigel, and those were the only like named guards that were there. But Rose and Tareem, that I created those during the course of writing Vigilance and Virtue, and I'm very disappointed that I didn't get to include them in the Iron's Edge arc. And if there is any moments where you go back or you interact with those people anymore, I am going to use them because I will say now canonically that they did survive. But easily either second place or tied for first place in terms of my the stuff that I have written for our Riven Tales. I absolutely love what I did with
it. I agree with that, and I would almost say, like, if we wanted to get like really hair splitty about it, you could say that Selena is the best outside of main campaign story because it happened pre-campaign, and then Jorik is the best like within the campaign, sort of. It's like it's technically pre-campaign, but it's like
days for the campaign.
Yeah. So like you because I have a hard time. Like I definitely agree with you, Jorik, and not that the other ones aren't great, but Jorik just hit a different way than the other ones have so far. And so I definitely think it's right up there with Selena, but I can't discern between the two either, because Selena's, I think, has more consistent action, but Jorik's, like, even though it's so concise, like, and maybe it's because I'm so close to it, like, because Harkos lived that life, you know, and Harkos has now also lived the Underdark shit. But that was our starting date, so I feel like maybe it just means a lot more. But I don't know, man. Like they're both brilliant, but yeah, Jorik is definitely right there with Selena in the Tunnel of Light.
Yeah, because on his surface, I think Jorik could come off as a little bit you know, two dimensional. And just because we got to, you had so many interactions with him that I got to broaden him out, and then getting to go into his life before the attack. Mm-hmm. And that, like Brad said, you know, that his kindness, it wasn't just, you know, he's not just the town guard. He's also a paladin. He's also a follower of Lathander. He's also, you know, has a good heart and wants to take care of the people that are around him. It's not just all, I really wanted to throw a play ribbon comment in there, but it just, when I was thinking about it, it was just so far out of tone that I couldn't justify it, so I left it out. But
the only place it could have fit would have been like right out of the gate. Jorik sneakily hid his play ribbon and he's like, well, I better actually make my rounds, and then it could just snap to the serious tone the rest of the time, because I had that thought. I was like, I wonder if he's gonna slide that in there, because he's been very like vehement that is canon that Jorik has play ribbons. And but I agreed. I was like, man, but that would mean that Jorik's story has to be like kind of goofy. And when you were having your writer's block and you had like that first paragraph that was just about like him hating the Night Watch, but everybody's got to do it, even that alone, like, I already knew. I was like, this is going to be good. Like, I didn't know to what extent, but I was like, Jorik was definitely the right choice to make. Because Melee is another one that's on the table that I forgot to mention earlier.
Yeah.
But Melee is one that we talked about when you were wanting to make Jorik. And I think Brad and I leaned heavy into Jorik.
Yeah. And I think that was in the kind of height of my writer's block there. As I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I need something else to break my mind out of it.
And
I 100% glad that I chose the way that I did. 100%. Anyway.
Before your eyes,
Brad,
me. Yeah. Took me like a freaking week to write it, because just about every paragraph in that probably got rewrote like 5 times. I didn't even know how to start it. Nick actually gave me the idea of writing it from his death perspective.
Well, because
which I think was a great choice.
I wanted to write the Harkus one, and the more I thought about it, I was like, it's just going to be kind of like a glorified, more detailed version of his backstory. But I mean, it's something. And so I wrote mine, and then Ken looked at Brad. He's like, "So you going to do one?" And Brad goes, "Fuck no." And I was like, and you don't have to. I go, don't feel like because I did one, you had to do one. And then I thought about it and I was like, but you know, what'd be really cool is you could also do a in-depth look at Trevor's backstory, but do it as a life flashing before your eyes thing when you died. And Brad just went, okay, I might do one. and then we didn't really talk about it, because Brad was like, whenever. And then we talked about the break. And then that's when I looked at Ken. I was like, so you could either write two. And then Brad's like, or I could write mine. I go, or you can write yours. I wasn't going to give you a time limit, but sure, you can do that. It's like, well, it would be nice to make it the end of the month, so you have all the time in the world.
And then I was a little worried the way I wrote it out, because I went from like third person to first person and back and forth. But I wanted it to feel that way, because In my head, you know, like, he's seeing it from the third at first, and then it's like those flashbacks where all of a sudden now you are in that position again.
Well, yeah, they did that in WandaVision when they went through her memories, like she was watching it and then all of a sudden she was that version of herself too. I mean, that's kind of a staple with flashbacks, almost not all of them, but I think it worked great. I loved every bit of it.
We haven't ever gone into a lot of detail about Trevor's family, other than, you know, what's been kind of released during the episodes.
And initially when Ken and I talked about my family, I kind of wrote them off as douchebags. Like,
I was like, yeah, they're probably snooty and blah, blah, blah. And then I got to writing and I'm like, nope, they're not. They're different, but they're not. They're not anymore. They're not snooty.
Well, and I feel like that's because you also had your feet into Trevor's shoes now. Because right. Like we all, well, I can't say we all. I don't know how everyone makes their characters. Our circle, when we make characters, like we have this idea in our head out of the gate. But as you play that character and as you like fall into the role of that character and we all become our characters, you start to see things differently because you think you're like, well, no, I don't think that is how this would have been because XYZ. Right. Just like I didn't always have the sanctuary as assholes. I knew that they weren't like necessarily going to be nice. Like I was just going to have them almost be apologies for any offense, but like the media's stereotypical Catholic stuff from like the 90s, like Catholic orphanages. I always had like the super mean nuns, which obviously is not how things are. That's just how it's portrayed in media. But that was the kind of the idea I had in my head. And I stuck with that a little bit, but I strayed from it. And then I was just like, but you know what? I don't think it's going to be that they're that way to everyone. I think because of how Riven is, it's going to be because he's an animal person. Like it's going to be because he's different. And and Riven has a thing about difference because of its past.
But I getting that deep dive look and getting the little hints of you know that Trevor saw things that he didn't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
That hinted towards who and what his family really was. That were sprinkled in there. I thought that was those were great little touches that you got to add in there because you had that knowledge and were able to be like make that decision. Is like, you know what, Trevor has seen this, but he doesn't remember
right.
That you know that this was he didn't know that this was important or didn't have like a memory of this because it wasn't a significant thing.
It wasn't significant enough to remember it from a child and whatnot. I think the big significant one was the disappointing his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because that threw it all off into that'd be the major breaking point through the whole thing.
I openly wept when I read it, so... and Jennifer made fun of me because I was like, "You want to hear Brad's Riventail?" And she's like, "Yeah, is it as dark as yours?" And I said, "Probably not, from what I've already read." And she goes, "All right, she'll be fine." And then I read it, and I have it pulled up because I got to the end. And obviously, I knew what was coming because I knew what Brad and I had talked about, but I didn't know how he was going to do it. So I was just reading it out loud, and I was like, "And now the train again. This is so beautiful. Perhaps I should put the past behind me and go speak to Father again. It's been years, but I need to introduce my parents to Harkos, my best friend." And then I started choking because it goes, "My best friend, my brother." And I didn't even see what happened because I looked up at Jen and she was staring at me. She's like, "What's wrong?" And I just held up a finger. I was like, "You're going to need to give me a moment, please." And then finally, I half composed myself, got through the "my brother, look at you, you glorious owl, you wait, why do you look worried?" Then I started crying more. And then I was like, "It's dark again, but why? Oh no, I remember now the train." And Jennifer was like, "What is wrong? Like, you, this already happened." I was like, "But I never saw it from that side before." Oh. Even now, like, I'm staring at these words and my eyes are watering. God, that fucking part of the campaign, man. And then bringing you back where we just cried at each other for 20 minutes.
I figured if he was reliving it, you know, like the not remembering because it's been a trip through there, you know, and who knows if you know when you die or not. So,
well, and how Trevor of Trevor to just like almost instantly just go through the stages of grief in a moment. Just like, "Oh, I remember the train. I slipped, but it can't Numereth, are you here to lead me on? Done. Like, fuck off. Go home. Fucking feel bad with the rest of us, damn it.
I almost went to the dark part and then was like, and then kind of went through the spot where, you know, Ken had me rolling to see if I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that could be good, but I don't, that might be a little much, because if he's already realizing what's going on.
Yeah.
So I just,
I think that where, I think that the frame that you put around, around that whole thing was, I pretty much as perfect as you could have possibly made it. I think that if you had tried to add something onto the end of you coming back, that's not, I don't think that it would have fit within that frame.
Yeah.
I don't, because either. I mean, and you guys experienced that both together, got to experience that, those moments, you know, you, Parko's calling out to you and you deciding to come back, you know, that whole thing got experienced within the world. But that moment didn't, your accepting of what's happened and the, you know, you getting to see these bits and pieces from your life as all these puzzle pieces all come together at one time. You didn't get to play in that sandbox in game. And so again, I think that you could not have framed that better.
And that one took that again, each like paragraph in that probably got rewrote 5 times or more. I'd sit down and write one out and I'm like, yeah, I like that. And then I'd go back and read it and go, I don't like that anymore. So not going back through it again.
You guys should hear me fucking going to town when I get on a roll with one of these and start writing. This is, I just go bonkers.
Me too, man. When I wrote Harkos, Jen was like, Nick, we need to go to the store. And I was like, but I have to get this down. And she goes, do you want me to just go without you? And I was like, no, I want to spend time with you. And we went back and forth for a bit, but she eventually just started doing stuff in the house. And then she'd come back out and she's like, are you still typing right now? I don't think there's been a break. And I go, there hasn't, as I like just continue. Because it does. It like when you hit that stride, man, it kind of falls out. And if you break it, you're fucking never gonna get it back. Like, you're never gonna find that same spot. You're gonna write something and it's gonna be good, but it's not gonna be what you had before.
See, that was how I did Trevor's backstory initially. Mm-hmm. Like, when we started the campaign, I just had it like one thought and I rolled and it just went bleh. But doing this part, like, I'd get a thought and I'd write my little bit out and then I'd go blank again.
Well, and I feel like that, not that you're like a bad DM or anything, but this borders on like world building, which you don't like planning out. And this was kind of like planning stuff out in a way.
Yeah.
So it was probably like your brain was just like, but I don't want to just make Nick and Ken say stuff and then agree that it's canon.
That's fair. That's fair.
Trevor's a big poo poo head and it's canon.
I'm in this dark place and I smell shit. And I look in the reflective pool inside my childhood fountain and, oh my gosh, I'm a big poo-poo head.
Why is there a Snickers bar floating in my family fountain? It's an odd thing for there to be. Why do I know what a Snickers bar is?
It was good. It was very good. Much better than
as much as you kick yourself for this shit, that was beautiful.
It's better than mine.
Get out.
I mean, it was.
I'm gonna strike both of you.
Mine only exists to hurt people.
Wow.
That's not true.
Anyway, we're brushing up on our time limit here, so any final questions, comments, or concerns?
I don't think I got anything.
Nope. Only comment is I mean, this has been a taste of Under the Trench Coat, which we gave you last October too. We put all the ones that came with the episodes out for free to give people a little taste. But yeah, like we said at the beginning, we do this after every episode, after every Riven and superhero episode. We have an Under the Trench Coat where we talk about the episode that just happened. It gets released on Patreon the same time the episode does, which is technically early. That stuff comes out early on Patreon, as long as Nick's on his game for editing, which I am currently. So, and they run about this length. Some of them are a little shorter. Sometimes we don't have much to talk about, like RP heavy episodes or something like that. Sometimes they'll be like 20, 25 minutes, but they're usually like 30, 45 or a fucking hour like it is now, which is whatever. It's good stuff. But yeah,
if you become a patron, you get a whole bunch of stuff, like Nick said, early episode releases, Under the Trench Coat, which is us talking about the episode. And then we have a pre-show.
It's just us bullshitting as we warm up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, we'll talk about things we're doing, what games we're playing or things like that. It's just,
it's more of a podcasty feel is kind of what it is, like stereotypical podcast where it's just us three guys talking again about the same time frame, roughly 30, 45 an hour long. We try to make it 30 minutes. It hardly ever hits that point. it usually strays much longer, but yeah, feel free to check it out or don't. It's your life. Live it.
But all right, well, let's go ahead and close up the trench coat then. I'm Ken.
I'm Brad.
I'm Nick.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm new here. I'm new here. Bye. Love you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.